Railway Stories from the Montsall Trail, The Journeys. This episode features the voices of people who travelled the line and remember the journeys they made.
Hi, my name is George Wolfe and I used to travel on the Midland Railway to get to Manchester while I was a student there when I studied from 1964 to 1967. At the time I was living in Hertfordshire, not far from Luton, and the most convenient way of getting to Manchester at the beginning and back again at the end of term was to travel on the main line, which went through Luton and on up north through Derby and on to Manchester. So each term I caught that train, and one of the things I looked forward to on that journey was going through the Peak District. I looked forward particularly to seeing the views in winter. The journey wasn't particularly interesting from Luton to Derby over a very flat countryside, but once I'd left Derby, the line gradually climbs up through Ambergate, where it diverges from the line that still exists up to Chesterfield and Sheffield, carried on through Matlock, then the scenery widened out at after that to see Darley Dale, and a quick glimpse of Bakewell, then through higher ground, climbing up this stage the train would be going very slower and slower as the gradients increased. We then saw some open scenery, and of course the thing that caught my eye then was the number of stone walls, because coming from down south I wasn't used to sort of fields being divided by stone walls, so they struck me in the way that they do now, people who are not used to them, and there's very dramatic scenery. A bit beyond Bakewell, of course, went past Hassop Station, Great Longston, and then into the tunnel, Headstone Tunnel, and suddenly out into Monsaldale. I remember how dramatic that was in winter time, because if the slopes of on either side were frequently covered in snow, and so I can remember it's almost like being in the Alps when you suddenly came out into this very steep-sided valley with very steep slopes covered in snow. It was very dramatic. So after that, there was a series of tunnels till we got to Miller's Dale. At Miller's Dale, the train pulled into one of, I think, four platforms, and the main line would be on one platform, and then there'd be the branch line to Buxton, and people would get out of the mainline train and make their way to the Buxton train, which went off up a branch line. So after the mainline train left Miller's Dale, went through some more tunnels, again with dramatic views of the River Wye down below, and steep limestone crags, and then into Great Roxdale, where the Tunstead Quarry is, and through that, and then dropped down to Chinley. And after a stop at Chinley, we then hurtled. Quite honestly, it was very, very quick. And then after the Peak District, instead of going up a steep gradient, we're going down a fairly steep one. So in no time at all, we reached Manchester and raced through the suburbs of Manchester. And our destination was Manchester Central Station, which, of course, is no longer a station. It's now the GMEX Centre.
And could you say how that journey influenced your life?
Well, yes, because, I mean, it left me with a very good impression of the Peak District. A few years later, I visited Sheffield and saw a bit more of the Peak District, and I think those two experiences together meant that when I saw a job advertised by the Peak National Park about 13 years later, you know, I applied for it, and I came to the Peak District, and I've been here ever since.
Well, I've always travelled on the railway, but this particular railway, I travelled on to visit my grandmother in Darley Dale, and I was living in Lancashire and Yorkshire. I was aged between the ages of 4 and 7. My father would take my sister and I to Manchester on the train, and then he would put us on the train to Darley Dale, and he would put us in the compartment by the guard's van, and he would ask the guard to make sure that we got off at Rosely, where my grandmother would meet us. His last instruction to us was to not put our heads out of the windows because of all the tunnels on the line, and we might get our heads hit if we put our heads out of the window. We always wore our best clothes, and we always took white gloves, which were probably not white by the time we got to Rosely. I don't recall a lot about the actual details of the journey, but some things do stand out, and that's a railway station which had It was very smart, and it had white edges painted on the platform, and had a beautiful garden. So we always looked out of the window at that station. And the other highlight of the journey was we looked out around Millersdale to see topiary on the bank. And this topiary was undertaken by one of the plate layers.
The numerous incidents and stories about the railway, most of them are before my time. The things that my parents have told me. We could probably kick off with my grandfather's experience. He took over this farm in 1892, and he started milk production. And of course, the milk went from Millersdale by rail to Manchester. And in those days, there were lots of small dairies, and they were notorious for not paying the bills and going bankrupt and so on and so forth. And this happened to him. He'd not received any money for his milk for quite a while, and Grandma said, "You'll have to go and see this man, see what's happening, see, because we've no money." So away Grandfather went on the train up to Manchester, found this man, met and walked around with him, talked to him, and he wouldn't talk about the money that he owed on the milk. Anyway, eventually, late on, about 10 o'clock at night, he managed to get some money out of this chap. And he knew that, you know, he had to come home somehow or other. So he went to the Manchester main station. All the local trains had gone, and there was a London Express there, just ready to go. Grandfather went to the driver and said, "Is there any chance of a lift to Millersdale?" He said, "Well, he can't stop. It's a non-stopping train." He said, "We can ride on the footplate if you've got a sovereign for me." Right, so Grandfather hopped up and he said, "What I shall do, I shall slow down, tap you on the shoulder, and you'll have to jump out. I can't stop. It's more than my job's worth." So away they came through the night. The driver slowed down, tapped him on the shoulder, and out he jumped. He didn't know where he was, really. He certainly had no torch or anything like that. And he must have been just north of Cheetah number 2. So it's the railway track there is like on the edge of the gorge. So he had to go down and wade through the river and up the wood, which is a terrible... It's all sheer rocks and bushes and all this sort of thing. Just after the war, we'd never had holidays, but we went to Blackpool for a week because we were little kids, and we went for a ride on the donkeys. And we asked the chap, "What do you do with them in the winter when there's no visitors?" So he said, "We send them off onto farms." So I said, "Were there any chance of us having one?" "Well, certainly." This donkey arrived at Millersdale Station in one of these huge vans, had it all to himself. And he came for several years to stay for the winter on the farm. Jenny.
This podcast was produced by InHeritage on behalf of the Peak District National Park Authority to celebrate the reopening of the railway tunnels for walkers, cyclists and horse riders on the Monsall Trail. Interviews were conducted in March 2011. Thank you to all who offered their memories of the Midland Railway. We're grateful for funding from Cycling England. Steam Locomotive recordings are courtesy of Steam Sounds. Monsall Trail Blues is written by Steve Russell and performed by The Slingshots.